включили его. Тогда я начну.
So, let's get it started, if I may. I'd like to begin with a very brief introduction in order to explain in general lines what is our seminar intended for. So, in general, our research group, which is actually a student professors group, so there are members who are professors and there are those who are students. So we are studying together some topics related to the history of mainly early modern or also 18th and 19th century medicine, and among other things, generally it's a reading seminar. So generally we are reading together some pivotal texts having to do with the history of European medicine. Among other things, we read together the comments on Aristotle and later maybe also on Galenus by Averroes. So we read in Greek and in Arabic, we made a little group, and we studied together one particular comment written in the genre of so-called maqala, that is to say a problematic research, something like an article. So we translated this text into Russian. This text is known in Western tradition under the title of the essay on the sperm and seeds. So it was our first task. And parallelly, in the same time, simultaneously, we read under the direction of Peter Resvich, who is unfortunately absent today, and who is a specialist on Schelling's philosophy. So we read under his direction the text by Friedrich Nicolai über die Schönheit des menschlichen Leibes. So we also are preparing a kind of translation with an annotated translation by Nicolai. But there are a number of topics which remained, so to say, excluded from our research till today, and one of them is the Dutch medicine and philosophy, a topic which is particularly dear for myself. So today it's a happy occasion, and it's my honor that quite unexpectedly, but in the same time, yes, we all are very pleased that today we can speak on Henricus Regius. Yes. So now I pass the floor to Andrea Stazzoni. Yes, please.
Yes, thank you. So I will present the results of a research that I recently completed, and I will take some part from an article that I've finished not so long ago. This article will be on the relation of philosophy and medicine in the case of the Cartesian inspired Dutch philosopher Henricus Regius. And actually, I will start with a general overview on the relation of philosophy and medicine in early modern philosophy. In fact, in the introduction to his essay concerning human understanding, Locke declares his purpose to give any account of the ways whereby our understanding comes to attain those notions of things and can set down any measure of the certainty of our knowledge by following a historical plain method. And this method was modeled upon the plain and open method of the English physician Thomas Sydenham, of whom Locke had been an assistant and secretary. In turn, the preface of Sydenham's Observationes Medicae echoes the contents of Locke's manuscript, De Arte Medica, as they both reject the use of a hypothesis as the foundation of reasoning. The case of Locke is emblematic of the mutual relations of medicine and philosophy in the early modern age and bears witness of the medical roots of the experimental philosophy of the second half of 17th century. Yet, this was not the only sample of the positive relations between these disciplines, as along with the attempt of developing a philosophy informed by the method of physicians, philosophers aimed at extending their scientific methodology to medicine. So the development of a medicine grounded on philosophy constitutes a foremost aim of René Descartes, besides in the metaphor of the tree of philosophy outlined in the French edition of his Principia Philosophiae of 1647, the relevance of medicine in Descartes' thought is declared in his letter to the Marquess of Newcastle of 1645, where Descartes states that the ultimate goal of his intellectual enterprise had been that of the preservation of health and life. And this statement sanctioned the relevance of medicine for the intellectual enterprise of Descartes, who, not himself learned of medicine at the university, started his anatomical researches and the development of a theory of man from 1629, and attracted soon the attention of the University of Bologna, where he was offered a chair in theoretical medicine as early as in 1633. So before that, his major works were published. However, with devoting a foremost part of his researches to the study of human body, substantiated in his Discours de la Méthode and in the posthumously published De Homine and the Description of Human Body, Descartes never developed a practical medicine. So we have just scattered medical advices in his correspondence with Mersenne, Pascal, and with the Elizabeth, to whom he gave some medical advices as to, for instance, to overcome some state of melancholy. Moreover, in 1646, he wrote in a letter to Chanu to have found more easy to a method on how not to fear death than to preserve life itself. Different explanations have been provided for the absence of a medical theory in Descartes' philosophy. For instance, Theo Verbeek has considered this fact as related to the lack of time by Descartes, who could not complete anatomical studies. On the other hand, in a recent, quite recent monograph of Vincent Occant, La philosophie médicale de Descartes, he has motivated such lack of a medicine in as a consequence of the lack of a clear and distinct knowledge of human being as the union of soul and body. However, despite the failure of Descartes' medical practices and of his project to develop a medicine based on philosophy, his efforts prompted physicians to develop Cartesian-inspired natural theories as the basis of practical medicine. So in this talk, I will try to shed light on the first attempt to develop a comprehensive medical theory by a Cartesian-inspired philosopher, scientist, and physician. A medical theory which includes an account of the functioning of human body, which is the object of physiology, of its diseases, so the morbi, which is the object of pathology, and the ways of preserving and healing the body, so the object of therapeutics. So Regius was the first expounder of Cartesian natural philosophy in Dutch university, and he started to propose a new philosophy based on Descartes' project in two series of disputations in 1641, the Physiologia Sive Cognitio Sanitatis and the Illustribus Aliquot Questionibus Physiologicis, which were exactly on physiology. Actually, in this series of, in the second series of disputation, he raised harsh polemics as he admitted that man is composed by two different substances provided with an accidental union. Moreover, in the proofs of his main text in natural philosophy, which was later published in 1646, the Fundamenta Physices, he admitted that soul can be either a substance, an attribute, or a mode of the body, so he finally clashed his view with Descartes. However, he provided, in fact, a comprehensive natural philosophy and medicine based on Descartes' Principia Philosophiae. So, I will try to make clear to what extent the theoretical and the practical medicine of Regius can be labeled as based on natural philosophy, and conversely, which was the influence of Regius' medical interest on natural philosophy itself and on philosophy as a whole. So I will compare Regius' medical theory with the medical theories at stake in 1640s and 1650s, and by this comparison I will try to shed light on the partition of medicine and its relation, actual and purported, with natural philosophy, on the notions of health and disease, and the relation of this notion with healing techniques, that is, practical medicine. And finally, I will spend some words on the method to be used in medicine and philosophy. And I will try to demonstrate that Regius figured a new partition of medicine, so a new division of the parts of medicine. As he detached the notion of general physiology as a study of human body, which pertains to natural philosophy, which is, however, oriented to medicine, he tried to detach this notion of general physiology from the medical physiology, which concerns only the topic of health and in which theoretical medicine consists. Secondly, we showed that Regius' notion of health and disease result from a mechanical and a corpuscularian interpretation of the theory of health and disease of Daniel Sennert. And even if Regius' classification of the kinds, the causes and the treatment of diseases is traditional. And finally, we show that Regius' method of discovery and exposition, or that is ordo in natural philosophy, is based on that of early modern medical treatises and testifies to the primacy of medicine over philosophy in Regius' agenda. So, about the first topic, philosophy and the notion of physiology. Actually, is the views on philosophy of Regius where he started to provide a Cartesian physiology even before he could read Descartes' writing on this topic. So, for instance, Descartes reported that Regius was appointed at the medical faculty at the University of Utrecht in 1638, as he could provide an original, a comprehensive textbook of Cartesian physiology, which was the elaboration of his own researches and which was integrated with with the contents of Descartes' discourse. In fact, in 1638, Regius could have read only Descartes' discourse and essays, as Descartes' Le Monde was read by him only after April 1641. And his first researches resulting in his two series of disputation on physiology of 1641, and finally where found a systematization in the Fundamenta Physices of 1646, which had two other editions in 1654 and 61, was also translated into French in the 80s. And to this text, he basically published the Fundamenta Medica, which had in fact an edition in 47, 57, and 68. So basically, they were like they had to be read as a system. And to this text, he added a Praxis Medica, so a text devoted only to practical medicine, which had two editions in 57 and 68. So all these texts embody a systematic attempt to connect medicine to natural philosophy. In the Fundamenta Medica, Regius divides medicine into cognitio and curatio. Cognitio is theoretical medicine and is divided into physiologia, or the knowledge of health, and the cognitio pathologica, or the knowledge of diseases. Regius points out the continuity between cognitio and curatio, that is, between theoretical and practical medicine, as explanation of bodily function are aimed to at healing practices. Moreover, he rectifies the vulgar, what he calls vulgar definition of physiology as the study of human body, and this is for him only a rough definition of physiology, which more properly concerns human health. So for Regius, there are two kinds of physiology: a general physiology, which is the study of natural things pertaining to human body, and it is a branch of natural philosophy, and a medical physiology, which concerns human health, as I said before. And such a distinction prevents the repetition of the same notions in medical and physical treatises, according to him. And so natural philosophy, even if it's not aimed at practical purposes in itself, is to be considered as a premise necessary to medicine, from which it is detached only for pragmatic reasons, and it does not rely on a different modum considerandi. So for Regius, medicine is formed by physiologia, pathologia, and curatio, which includes hygiene and therapeutics. So the presentation of Regius of the relation of medicine with natural philosophy testifies some change in the ways of conceiving the subjects and the method of medicine and its relation with natural philosophy. At the time of his studies in the 30s, the main text, a main text in medicine, was the Universa Medicina of Jean Fernel, which traced back to 1567, and which had several editions in the next decades. Fernel established a notion of physiology as the study of the healthy man, thus concerning the whole structure of human body, and preceding pathology and diagnostic, therapeutics, and hygiene. How to pronounce it? Hygiene?
Dietetics.
Well, okay. So, according to Fernel, pathology, physiology, and diagnostic form the concern the cognition of things, while therapeutics and hygiene concerns are practical medicine. And world medicine, in turn, is an art, and it has not a contemplative aim. It is not a scientia as natural philosophy, or as theology and or mathematics. However, even if there are different aims, philosophy is the mother of medicine, and the subject matter of medicine is the whole body, and both follow an analytical method which goes from the most general construction of the body to the minimal parts which cannot be observed and can be grasped only by reason. and physiology in those concern the parts, elements, temperaments, spirits, humors, head of human body, and then the faculty of soul, the generation of man, which are all described in the Universal Medicina. So the systematization of the subject of physiology by Fernel and the division of, on this division of medicine in five parts sums up the medical, well, it's a result of re-elaboration of the medical teaching of Hippocrates, Galen and Avicenna. So for instance, we have in the pseudo-Galenic Introductio Sive Medicus, physiology is divided into a theory of the elements of the human body, of the formation of fetus, and on the investigation of the parts of body, while in the De Partibus Artibus Medicative, Galen assumes a broader notion of physiology, which is the study of the nature of anything which would be of little use for medicine itself, but praises the physiology of Hippocrates as it concerns elements, qualities, mixtures, and humors. On the other hand, in the canon of Avicenna, physiology is the first part of medicine and includes even a general cosmology, a theory of temperaments, the humoral theory, anatomy, and the theory of powers of living beings as plants, animal, and man. So the physiology of Fernel sets a clear definition and organization of this matter, and for instance, he omits cosmology and he focus on topics more oriented to practical medicine. In turn, the reorganization of physiology, which is summed up in Regius Fundamenta Medica, is a result of Descartes' revolution in philosophy. In fact, the traditional topics of physiology included by Fernel into medicine are treated by Regius in his Fundamenta Physicae, so in natural philosophy, and are treated by Descartes in his Le Monde. So, for instance, but Le Monde were published after Descartes' death and much after Regius' Fundamenta Physicae and Fundamenta Medica. On the other hand, Descartes' Principia, which were published in 1644, lack of a section on plants, animals, and man, the three domains of life, already present in the general physiology of Avicenna, and he omitted this part as he lacked of sound experiences available in this field. Actually, these fields, so the theory of man, plants, and animals, are finally developed by Regius in the Fundamenta Physicae, and are the result of his own elaboration though mediated by Descartes' assistance in writing the Physiologia. So, Regius' treatise include, beside of a definition of the principles of nature and of a cosmology, includes a treatment of four elements, so water, earth, air, and fire. Moreover, qualities, mixtures, and temperaments, and then consideration over living bodies, plants, and animals, which will be used in medicine. For instance, in his Principia, Descartes does not reserve to the four Aristotelian elements a separate consideration, but he mainly considers the three kinds of particles constituting the world universe as forming the visible element devised by Aristotle. Moreover, Regius gives a separate treatment of the basic of medicine, that is, qualities as heat, dryness, humidity, and coldness, and to temperament or temperies, which is no more defined as a mixture of elements and of their quality, but as the contextus, one can say, constitution of insensible qualities in sensible bodies according to their movement, rest, position, and figure, which will be the basis of Regius' account of health and disease. So Regius complete Descartes' plan for natural philosophy though with an orientation to medicine, since this specificity in treatment of physiological topics, that is the consideration of qualities and so on, will also have a place in theoretical medicine, that is medical physiology, which is dealt with in the Fundamenta Medica. So medical physiology concerns health as such. Health is generally defined by Regius as the disposition of the parts of the human body capable to perform actions in the right way, where the parts of body are defined as corporeal substances, either sensible or insensible. In turn, a living body is defined as a corporeal substance whose parts are conformed and temperated in a way that they can preserve its continuously dissipated matter. So the disposition of parts would consist of their temperance and conformation, and which makes life possible is the vegetative soul itself. So on this basis, in the Fundamenta Medica, Regius define health, sanitas, as consisting of two parts, bona temperies and the apta partium conformatio. So the bona temperies is the convenient constitution of the primary qualities of it, called humidity and dryness, and the derived qualities as tenuity, rarity, density, and so on, which are bundles of insensible parts, or how he says, particulae insensibiles, which can which are fit to be named. Well, the apta partium conformatio is the right constitution. He also calls it convenience adaptatio of the sensible parts of body according to their quantity, figure, and construction. So consequently, disease or morbus is the intemperies and the prava conformatio, which had in turn three kinds: mala figuratio, injusta quantitas, and prava constructio. And this notion of health and disease includes some original elements which bear witness of a reinterpretation of different opinions at stake at the time of Regius' medical education. His account, for instance, is different from Fernel, who defined sanitas as the perfect symmetry of the parts of the body. Santorio Santorio, who was among Regius' promoters when he was when he graduated at the University of Padua, on the other hand, describes sanitas in terms of addition of what body lacks and elimination of what exceeds, which is made by the perspiratio insensibilis, that is the exhalation of the results of digestion, as an imperceptible breath, which can be, however, quantitatively determined by means of instruments, and which is positively mentioned by Regius in the Fundamenta Physices. Actually, Regius' main source seems to be Daniel Sennert, in which, in his Institutiones Medicinae, which was first published in 1611, at several editions in 17th century, and in which Sennert defines sanitas as the power of body to make actions resulting from the natural constitution of the part of the body. And such constitution is different according to the parts of the body, which can be homogeneous, that is, composed by particles, he calls them universae particulae, which keep their similarity in form. And these parts are elements and blood, and their health is the constitution or the temperament of the four primary qualities and of occult qualities in a mixture or justa temperies, which is not made, however, by feature as figure and size, since homogeneous parts and their particles are defined in terms of their similarity between each other, and regardless of the figure of the part of the body they compose, as for instance in the case of bones. While the similar parts are organic or conform in a way fit to perform some action, and so even if some of their simple parts are reciprocally similar, they are composed by different kind of parts in order to perform actions, and their health consists of their unity and continuity. So there are these two kinds of health. In according to Sennert, this justa temperies and unity and continuity in parts. And Regius provides a mechanical reinterpretation of these notions as sensible qualities and temperaments, which are used by Senner to, in the first account of health. Sensible qualities and temperaments are accounted for in the Fundamenta Physices in mechanical and corpuscular terms, while Regius renders the unity and continuity of parts in terms of apta conformatio. However, in the Fundamenta Medica, Regius still refers to traditional qualities for the description of some of kinds of disease determined by intemperies. The intemperies can be cold, hot, dry, humid, as it can be determined by a vice of one of these qualities, or it can be caused by occult qualities which are harming or mortal and can be spread by food, air, and so on. Moreover, also Regius' classification of disease traces back to Sennert's Institutiones Medicinae and is still guided by a theory of temperaments and of four humors. So, morbus can be sanguineus, biliosus, melanchonicus. And as to the causes of diseases, Regius maintains that diseases consist of, generally speaking, they consist of a pravitas of the disposition of parts. So, he mainly relies on the second notion of health, which is basically the mechanical constitution of visible parts. And he doesn't mention the intemperies. However, he mainly referred to temperies in considering the external causes of disease and considering, the occult qualities or manifest qualities which are present in air, in contaminated air, for instance. While internal causes are can be the immoderate motion in body which causes excessive heat, or the immoderate sleeping or state of being awake, or the disordered passion of soul. And these were already present all in Sennert and even infernal treatises. So, in fact, I need to skip some part. So we had this, actually in the treatment, this treatment of disease, which is largely traditional, can also explain, for instance, a matter of disagreement in physiology between Descartes and Regius. For example, one of the two main causes of diseases, of state of disease, are the plethora, which is the vice of humors, and plethora is the abundance of this overabundance of useful humors in veins, or cacochimia, which is the redundancy of useless humors in veins, or usually in the body. These two causes of disease are related to the process of coctio, and a matter of disagreement between Descartes and Regius was the division of coctio. For instance, Regius provides a division of coctio in three steps, like first the transformation of food in chylum, and then in chymus and blood. Descartes, on the contrary, did not qualitatively distinguish these three operations, and Regius' distinction, however, fit such medical interest as diseases are associated to different stages of coctio, as plethora and cacochimia are determined by an overabundance of food or by its corruption in the first stage of coctio, which takes place in ventricle and intestine, so in the transformation of food in chylum. And on the other hand, with respect to Sennert, Regius introduced some more novelty when discussing the private disposizione or conformaciones, which are the basically the quantitative cause of diseases, and which some depends of intemperies itself, and however. Most of them can be just accounted for in quantitative terms, as in the case of tumor, in the case of injusta quantitas, which is tumor is caused by humors whose particles are modified by pores in a way leading to their concretion. Or mala figuratio is the malformation of bones and the dilatation or constriction of veins and arteries, which consist in anastomosis, which is the breaking of veins and hinders the continuity of the circulatory system. Diapedesis, which is the dilatation of membranes, or diaresis, or the breaking of vases. And all their treatment is mechanical, while by Regius, while Sennert described, for instance, anastomosis as determined by the action of a facultas expulsrix, which forces humor to break vases. So in conclusion, Regius reinterprets the causes of disease in corpuscular terms as to intemperies, and complements Sennert's account of disease in terms of the union of the parts of the body, as in the case of the second notion of L, that is the prava dispositio. In fact, there is no doubt that this view, this reinterpretation, was indebted to Descartes, with whom Regius settled the contents of the Physiologia, and where we can find, for instance, the comparison of human body to a clock. And yet, Descartes was not the only source of Regius, so his corpuscular account was consistent with the position of David Gorlaeus, which is expressly mentioned by Regius as a source of his tenet that man is an accidental being. Moreover, he is indebted to Taurellus and even Basson and even Sennert, who, even if he maintained the existence of substantial forms, identified substantial forms in atom in order to explain the generation of man. So there is, in the case of Regius, we have, of course, we have the same view, for instance, on the circulation of blood, but on the other hand, it was more just Regius did not rephrase Descartes or something similar. So if Regius' account of the nature of disease is in many aspects innovative, even if it's a reinterpretation of the tradition, his practical medicine is far more traditional, and it just relies on a theoretical foundation of, in mechanical terms, of the properties of medicaments and healing practices. So the remedies to diseases are accounted by Regius in terms of being warming, freezing, humidifying, and drying, even if these qualities are recognized by experience alone, and they are accounted for as depending of on the disposition of insensible particles. In the same way, there is a mechanical account of the properties of spices as pepper or ginger, and which makes the subtle matter of the body moving faster as their particles adapt to the pores of the body. So the use of Cartesian-inspired notions in medicine is restricted to theory. So we have a theoretical medicine, so a physiology and a pathology based on Descartes, but more one enters in practical medicine, basically we have a rephrasing of traditional medical practices. Actually, one can put forth some reason for this for this fact. For instance, Descartes, in their correspondence commenting upon Regius Physiologia, states that the theory of humors of Galen is not entirely to be trusted. However, he suggests Regius to teach his medicine in a Galenic and Hippocratic way. So it can have been this kind of suggestion of Descartes. Moreover, during the crisis of Utrecht of 1641, when Regius stated that man is an accidental being and caused a lot of polemics, Regius promised to the university curators to restrict himself to traditional medicine. So as far as this concerned practical medicine, Regius was constant to tradition, and his purpose, which is declared in the Dedicatio of his Fundamenta Medica, is to illustrate and explain the obscurities of traditional medicine, and to correct the vulgar notion of physiology. So basically, it's what I've tried to show so far. However, this was not a measure to prevent prohibitions on his teachings or just of following Descartes' advice. In fact, he introduced a new physiology and in Utrecht, and this was a reason for his assumption of a chair in theoretical medicine itself. So basically, I think that the lack of a development of a new practical medicine by Regius is to be motivated as a result of the absence of a more complete understanding, based on this section, of the functioning of the body from a Cartesian perspective, like for Descartes himself. And it is also to be motivated by the speculative character of Regius' physiology, since the size and the movement of insensible particles are established by Regius on the basis of analogical reasoning, even if this is based on the experience, for instance, of visible bodies, of the behavior of visible parts of matter, and it's based on the use of imagination. So these are two kind of intrinsic limit in Regius' effort. So I'm going to conclude my talk. I will focus now on the method of medicine and physiology. So the medical interest of Regius, as I have shown, determined the choice of themes in natural philosophy. So we have a large discussion in Regius' natural philosophy of traditional themes as humors, temperaments, which are dealt both in the general physiology and in the medical physiology. However, also in the case of the method of natural philosophy, one can notice some influence of his medical approach and interest. So, as I said, for Regius, medicine and natural philosophy follow the same modum considerandi. General and medical physiology are divided in order not to repeat the same theories and notion in medicine and natural philosophy. And the fact that natural philosophy has no practical purposes in itself does not prevent it to have the same method of medicine and basically of theoretical medicine. And this continuity between philosophy, natural philosophy and medicine, can be interpreted as a consequence of the medical interest of Regius, which informed the function of philosophy as the foundation of medicine itself. So in the medical tradition, prior to Regius, the relations of medicine and natural philosophy were interpreted in various ways. And for Fernel, for instance, both medicine and natural philosophy follow an analytical method, which goes from the general consideration of the body to its more particular parts, even if medicine and philosophy plainly have different aims, as natural philosophy is a scientia and medicine is an art. This distinction of philosophy and medicine is maintained by Sennert, as he distinguishes medicine and its five parts, including physiology, from philosophy itself. And they state that medicine does not deal with first causes, which are the matter of physics and are assumed by physicians as precognita. Actually, Regius' position on the relationship between medicine and philosophy are more kindred to the views of Fernel and Senner than those to the Paduan medical tradition where he studied. In Padua, methodological questions on medicine were extensively discussed by Zabarella, which was the predecessor of Cesare Cremonisi. Cremonini was a promoter of Regius there, together with Santorio Santorio. And Zabarella, in his De Naturalis Scienze Constitutione, according to him, according to this text, natural philosophy and medicine, even if sharing human body as a subject matter, are different in aims, as natural philosophy is contemplative and medicine as a practical end. The explanation of the functioning of human bodies provided only by natural philosopher who look upon the first causes of phenomena observed in the field of anatomy and which follow the methodology employed by Aristotle in the Partibus Animalium, which is not merely a historical work but contains the explanation of what can be observed in anatomy. So in his logical works, in his De Methodis, Zabarella maintains that physician starts his work when philosopher finish his own, the famous saying, ubi desinit philosophus, ibi incipit medicus, and medicine and natural philosophy follow a different modum considerandi of their of the same subject matter. So in philosophy, one has to use a compositive method of presentation going from the causes to the effects. In medicine, one has to follow a resolutive method, which goes from the practical end to the principle of its accomplishment. However, the first part of medicine, physiology, does not consider the healing of body, and it's more kindred to natural philosophy and adopts its compositive order of presentation and its method of discovery based on regressus. On the other hand, the operational part of medicine, so the last part, the practical medicine, assumes a resolutive order of presentation, and so first the healing of bodies is presented as a principle, and then healing techniques are presented in an analytic order. And the operational part of medicine does not really rely on a method of discovery rather on the resolution from the general knowledge of health and sickness to that of the causes of disease and their cures for body. Moreover, for Zabarella, medicine is an ars conjecturalis, as it follows nature in producing its result, that is, physicians take self from and use processes, natural processes, on which they have not a complete understanding. So it's like a tentative discipline. So in the case of Zabarella, we have a strong division in the method of medicine and on natural philosophy. In turn, Cremonini was a promoter of Regius, devoted scattered comments on the relation of philosophy and medicine. So he states in a traditional way that medicine begins where natural philosophy ends, and he even rejects the value of anatomy for medicine. He states in his Apologia Dictorum Aristotelis De Origine et Principatum Embrorum Adversus Galenum, he states that anatomy is not useful for medicine, and as it only provides matters to be explained in natural philosophy. Moreover, anatomy is not useful for practical medicine, even in surgery, because anatomy just concerns little details of the body. So anatomy is not an ars, and it has not a practical function, but serves to the contemplation of nature. So it just serves natural philosophy, and it has not direct relation with medicine. Santorio Santori, which was another promoter of Reius, on the other hand, maintains the traditional distinction between the ends of medicine and philosophy, and he maintains also the difference in their methods. So philosophy as a compositive method and medicine as a resolutive method. However, according to him, medicine is not an ars conjecturalis, as it was for Zabarella. First of all, because both medicine and philosophy, even if they have different methods, they concern essences. Moreover, he has this, he tried to quantitatively define the process of perspiratio, which is at the basis of human health. So, like for Reius, we have an attempt to make medicine a science somehow. So Reius maintains this the shared view on the method of medicine as resolutive or analytic, going from the general to the particular, and applies it to natural philosophy itself. Moreover, this can be noticed, according to me, with if we have a look at his clash with Descartes of 1645, when Regius sent to Descartes the proof of his Fundamenta Physices, and Descartes rejected two main points. So Descartes rejected Regius' views on metaphysics, so Regius position on the nature of soul as something that can be a substance or an accident or even a modification of body itself. And beside this metaphysical objection on the nature of soul, Descartes objected to Reius not to have provided adequate proofs for his physics, as Reius displays definitions and divisions going from the general to the particular and without grounding them on adequate proofs from four first causes. Descartes maintains that this order of presentation can be used to expound the results of physics, but proofs must be provided. In fact, Reius provided an account of philosophical truths according to which such truths they have only a provisional status. In this, they are not different from those truths leading us in everyday life. So no boundaries between practical, everyday and philosophical knowledge are provided by Reius. This provisional character of physical explanation is outlined by Reius at the end of his Fundamenta Physices, where Reius states that his arguments are not intended to be compulsory for everyone because human temperaments are various and no argument can convince everyone in the same way. In a further edition of this Fundamenta, he also states that both false and true judgments on a state of affairs are evident in the same way. So, Reius rejects the existence of a pure understanding that can carry out any reasoning independently of its conjunction with the body. And he supports his positions with medical evidences, as besides by temperaments, one man can be influenced by diseases as apoplexy or epilepsy. So he intends to provide a physics not different in content from Descartes, but meant only as a provisional explanation of phenomena. And his epistemology can be defined according to the model of inference to the best explanation. So he merely provides a hypothesis by means of imagination. So he refers to the imaginative deduction, which is the main faculty, which is by which one has to work in philosophy. So, given such epistemology, Descartes' method of discovery proceeding from the intuition of first truth to the discovery of what is not known, which is labeled as analytical by Descartes, which he distinguished from the synthetic order of presentation, which consist of asserting first principles and axioms and demonstrating their consequences. This kind of analytic method in Descartes is never mentioned by Reius. His only words on method reflect the view of method as ordinatio, or the arrangement of proposition and syllogisms in a clear order. This order, however, is not observed in long treatises as his own, and the method he follows, and the method he declares is following, is analytic, as it consists in proposing a series of general definitions and explain them in order to provide an ideal model of natural phenomena without a proof from first principles from Descartes. I think that the medical, this kind of method is exactly the one we can find in the basically in the medical treatises of his time. So the medical characterization of Regius Cartesianus can be noted in this specificity of Regius' approach with respect to Descartes' methodology, rather than with previous views on the method of medicine. So we have Regius is more constant to Fernel or Senner than to Descartes on the method of both medicine and natural philosophy. On the other hand, the novelty of Regius with respect to the medical tradition stands in his idea of physiology, which bridges natural philosophy and medicine itself, and by which Descartes could provide a mechanical foundation to medicine, and by which he could justify the traditional medical practices. So all in this sense, Regius medicine can be labeled as Cartesian, that is, as provided with a Cartesian-inspired foundation.
Thank you. So, many thanks for your insightful presentation. I can't help noticing that we translated a little piece from Zapparella, so dealing with methods but not with medicine. So now our idea of Zapparella is somehow complemented by his views on medicine displayed by you. Now it's time for questions, if there are any. So please.
Maybe first a very little question. I do not understand exactly if Regius refused this idea of medicine as ars conjecturalis or not.
Well, he never. Actually, he never addressed this topic. It was not one of his topic. I mean, it is my interpretation that he tries to provide this medicine with a more sound foundation on natural philosophy. So he, like Sanctorius, he tried to set a program for medicine based on mechanism. So to account visible qualities and occult qualities, which were central in medicine, it tries to account this in corpuscular terms. So I tend to interpret this general project as a way to avoid this characterization of medicine as an ars conjecturalis, that is, as something that can just follow or try to repeat something that already happens by chance in nature, as it was for Zapparella, for instance. He stated this. It's more a program than that something he could actually carry out.
Well, but could it be the question of the genre? Because, for example, if we take medieval medicine and such a genre, for example, as Consilio, where we have some description of disease and some symptoms of this disease and some characteristics. For example, when we take Consilio by Taddeo Alderotti, we could read about the disease of Doges, and we could see what it is exactly, some symptoms, some characteristic with theoretical level of explanation of this disease, and some practical recommendation. And although it does not seem as a syllogism, but it's a kind of a syllogism. If so, we have a different pasulka.
Premise.
We have a different premise. General premise, which is a level of theory, our knowledge about natural philosophy, about temperaments, about umido radicale, and so on. We have some, how to say, little premise, male pasulk.
Minor premise
as this concrete case, this Doge with his unique mixture of qualities, of humors and so on. And we have some conclusion from these premises, which is the practical recommendation about the care towards this disease. So if, for example, Cartesi in his philosophy refuse this syllogistic way of thinking, so we have some problems to construct this type of medical practice. And as for me, usually when we research medical literature of this epoch, it's a problem of genres. Because in some genres, for example, in such kind of pragmatic genres as Consilio was, we have a most tried continuity in this methodological sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why I ask about if he has this idea about us conjunctuaris or conjunctuaris or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, well, I should start from, well, about, for instance, about the use of syllogisms in medicine. It just says that it is not possible to have this kind of syllogistic demonstrations in a medical theory, just because it's one cannot keep this order in long treatises. So it replaces this syllogistic order of syllogistic order with an analytic presentation of general principles and then more particular ones. But on the other hand, the problem of medicine as an art conjecturalis was not only well related to the applicability of syllogistic reasoning, but it was something related to the well, to the fact that in practical medicine one has to use repeat just some natural process that that can be observed. So physicians try give recipes, tries to use some powers which is in plants or in animals, but first, they don't know what is this power, and secondly, they don't know the quantities in recipes, how they can be determined. In the case of some, for instance, in the practical part of medicine of Regius, when he start to give recipes, he doesn't deal at all with the problem of how to determine the quantity of in recipes. While, for instance, in the case of Sennert, he just says that it's a very obscure field, and he says someone says that you can use arithmetic proportion in the parts of recipes. Someone else says that you can have to follow a geometric proportion, but basically just admits that in fact that medicine is a conjectural ars. Sanctorius was one of the first who actually tried to also he admitted that quantities cannot be mathematically established, but with his machines he really tried to figure out how to deal with diseases in quantitative terms. And at the end also Reius, and he also mentions Santorius' experiences with the balance and...
Please, thank you, Andrea, that was very intriguing. Particularly, I was not aware that Riccio studied in Padua.
Mm-hmm.
That also leads to my first remark or question. Question that could also be a remark. I was not quite sure about your part on method, because I think it's very important in Paduan way of thinking to separate between ordo and methodus, because you, in between you at times talked about the order of exposition or disposition, but that's of course different from discussions of regressus as a Savarelian method of finding new arguments. So I'd like to ask you how medicine relates, or Reggio's medicine relates to this distinction. The second point is that, again, a Cartesian understanding of the terms analytic and synthetic originates not so much in logic, but in mathematics. So the question would then be, how does a Cartesian mathematical understanding of this distinction relate to a Padovan distinction between analytic and synthetic? And the last point, follow up to Ilya. It's strange that on the one hand, Regius wants to abandon the notion that medicine is an art ars conjecturalis, but at the same time defends an only provisional character of the natural philosophy, providing the foundations for a non-conjectural medicine. So that's in a way quite interesting, because it points to either to a plain incoherence, my own opinion of Regius until now was not very high, I may have to change that, or to some more sophisticated conception of degrees of belief. That there is a difference between mere guessing of chance and not being completely sure about what is going on in nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will start with the last question. Well, in fact, that basically provides a mechanical account of medicine, so this is something that in itself is against the view that medicine is an ars conjecturalis, to the extent that it is based on the attempt to repeat some natural process. But on the broader view, so from the point of view of the general method, and the general method, for instance, as to the choice of using mechanical principle in medicine, in natural philosophy, the fact that the whole enterprise of philosophy and medicine is provisional or conjectural is is more part of we can say epistemological consideration. So we have like a broader conjectural framework, and but at the same time, given this framework, is it tries to establish a more clear medicine. In fact, he admits that the mechanical model is clear, is the instinct, and so on, but at the same time is more particular theories in this framework are provisional. Anyway, they are much more clear than the those theories based on substantial forms and so on. So it's attempt to provide a less conjectural medicine. It's also a polemics against the Aristotelians. And about your first two questions, in fact, is starting from Descartes. In Descartes, we have this definition of analytic and synthetic. As far as this concerns the meditaciones metaphysicae, just Descartes declares that he follows an analytic method of discovery, and which consists of presenting some which is known, and then he can discuss what is less known. So he has not a very strict definition of this method. On the other hand, he admits that what he can find by this method, which is also basically the method of presentation, so from some very clear notions to less clear notions, so from the cogito and so on, he can also present his result in a synthetic way, and this synthetic way is what you can say the demonstrative way. So we have premises, axioms, and then demonstration, and then conclusion. And this is the kind of geometrical demonstration. So how, in mathematics they present the own result. So, and in one of his answers to the objections, I don't remember to whom, now he basically present the, he shows that he can use this method to present his own results. So basically this is the two notions of analysis and synthesis, which are presented by Descartes with regard to the meditaciones. Then we have also those of the cours de la méthode, which analysis, so it's composition, synthesis as decomposition, and analysis as division. In the case of Zapparella, there is this order of discovery based on regressus and negotiatio. So if I remember well, there is a process of induction, and after this process of induction, there is a what he calls the negotiatio, so the active, please interrupt me if I don't say it. He can come to universal conclusion given the power of the intellect that can overcome the particular character of induction. And this is the order of, this is the method of discovery. And then there is the resolutive order of presentation, which is the ordo, which is somehow the order of dividing general notions in less general notions. And this is basically the order of presentation that Regius follows in medicine and in natural philosophy. Well, it's interesting to find out how, which is the method of discovery of Regius. So if this method of discovery is something different from the order of presentation. Basically, the method of discovery of Regius is this a mechanical reinterpretation of what can be observed. This mechanical reinterpretation consists of the imagination of the mechanical behavior of insensible, observable and not observable parts. So it says analogy, imagination, imaginative deduction. So deduction is, according to him, is not the demonstration as the, for instance, as the mathematical demonstration of Descartes, which is the synthetic demonstration, but is just a way of the mind of dealing with notions, of developing notions. And I say that he has this model of inference to the best explanation just because I develop a model on this basis, and this model has to account for what we observe, that is.
Yeah. I'm asking because, if I may follow up, sorry. Because I think this is important for answering the question to which extent and how we can understand Regius as a Cartesian. Because if he does not follow a Cartesian understanding of these differences in method, you could probably say that he just uses some propositions from Cartesian nature philosophy, but inserts them into a methodological discourse that is very alien to Descartes.
Yes, exactly.
But very close to medicine.
Yes.
And exactly. I think that could help to clarify your thesis.
Mm-hmm.
No, for that, in that passage, you really must painstakingly clarify, probably with an index, whether you are using these terms in the Cartesian or in a Padovan sense.
Oh, thank you.
One more question?
Yeah, in a way it's like coming to the same with Stefan. Two questions of clarification, because I'm entirely ignorant about this discourse. One is Descartes' response to Regius. So he had two points. One is the metaphysics, and that he doesn't distinguish between the substance mode and the accident. Now, that's, I wonder if Regius respond to that and he has any justification, because that is not only for Descartes to say something like that, is to say you don't understand the definitions. Because substance, if you say that something can be substance, mode, and so on, you just don't know what you're talking about. It's nonsense, because for Descartes' definition, it's nonsense. So, is Regius has any response to that and to the question of the physics? Now, the other question, which also related to that, is this place where philosophy ends and whatever else begins. The question is, for Regius has to do with something with the definition of the body? Can he explicate it from what the body is or whatever unity that he speaks of? That's therefore philosophy ends here or whatever, and that begins here, or he just say it because that's how it is? And or perhaps it's not, it has nothing to do with the body, it's question of medicine, but in general he has some view that Descartes' philosophy ends with some principle which of, like for instance, there is no, there is no analytic deduction. You cannot apply something from this kind of science to the world, whatever. So I wonder if Regius has any consideration, any deliberation, any thought that he developed order to show that this, the Cartesian view, is wrong, or just like proposed.
Well, about the first question, in fact, actually their correspondence finish their exchange of letter finished with this letter when, well, Descartes objected to Regius that he misunderstood the notion of soul. Then Regius answers saying that basically in metaphysics he was an enthusiast. And then the polemics continues with the explicatio and brevis explicatio mentis humanae by Regius. Then there were also harsh accusations by Descartes, who accused Regius of having plagiarized some of his writings. This accusation turned to be not justified. Well, anyway, the when they started in these later writings, that they were basically pamphlets, they continued their polemics. The main point of opposition was on the problem of the definition. So in Descartes, soul is res cogitans, and so res is the main genre and cogitans is the specific difference in Aristotelian terms. And Regius says to Descartes that it is a petitio principi that res cogitans is a substance, a thinking substance, because it just says that is a res, but res doesn't mean that is a substance. And on the other hand, Descartes objects to this objection, saying that to maintain that soul can be either a mode of a substance or a modification of a substance, either material or immaterial, or a substance in itself is like is contradictory in itself. So basically they continue their polemics on a logical field, basically, just to on the other hand, at the end, Regius, even if he maintains also on the basis of this kind of medical evidences, that is by showing that mind works only on the basis of the activity of the body, so for instance that one cannot justify the existence of innate ideas because we can explain the functioning of the mind just in terms of ideas from experience. Anyway, Regius still, even in his late writings, will admit that soul is, that consciousness as an activity of the soul cannot be accounted in mechanical terms, so ultimately as a dualistic view. At some point he even maintains that soul can be an atom, corporeal atom that cannot be destroyed, because he was interested in saving the immortality of the soul. And but this was not only a result of some theological interest, I mean a way to avoid any accusation, but it was a result of his initial view on the fact that soul as activities that cannot be all accounted in mechanical terms. So we have this kind of ambivalence, because he maintains that soul works with the body, but at the same time he maintains that it's something different. So about your second, well, I can provide you more texts if you want later. I mean, it was a quite subtle polemic. About the definition of the body, well, at the beginning of the Fundamenta Physices, for instance, he maintains that body is a substance, definitely. There is an article of Theopher Bacon, the notion of nature in Descartes and Regius, where he shows that he provides this notion of body which is a function of providing a foundation to the notion of health. So he maintains basically the notion of extension. As for Descartes, Barthes, he is more interested in defining the what are the insensible particles and so on. But he has this notion of res extensa anyway. So we use this notion for in terms of to clarify the notion of health. So well, the notion of body as such is three-dimensional extension, but notion of particular bodies are defined in terms of the unity provided by organic processes, basically.
That's Regus?
Yes.
Okay.
So for the sake of medicine, we have this kind of individuation of body by the temperies, by the health, basically.
And, but this unity will be different from the unity of, of a stone.
Yes.
Just want to.
It is. In fact, they are on two different levels. Well, first of all, Regius doesn't deal directly with the problem of individuation as such. So it's but one can say that the individuation of living bodies is provided by the organic constitution, while the individuation of stones and so on is provided by relies on a mental activity, basically our abstraction from a continuity of matter.
Fake recollections that you find something similar in Gorlaeus. I heard a paper by Helen Hatter on Gorlaeus, and I vaguely remember that could be basically the background metaphysics.
Yeah.
Because Gorlaeus also has this corpuscularian atomist approach. So they have the same problems arise.
But this is again not Cartesian.
No, it's corpuscularian.
You see how difficult it is to say what a Cartesian is in that period.
I don't. Well, okay.
Yes, and. Well, I can provide articles on this too.
Yeah, no, sorry.
So, if I may, a little question just on the category of Canetus. Is there in Regius any account on Canetus, on voluntary motions as a whole, and what's his idea of that?
Mm-hmm. Well, voluntary motions are, he devotes a main part of his well, first of his disputation on physiology. His disputation on physiology in the 40s were they are on medical physiology. Mm-hmm. But for this medical, so they would belong more to the fundamenta medica than to the fundamenta physices. But they start with a consideration of what is a living body and what are its actions. So he distinguished between automatic and he had a quite complex distinction. He has to distinguish, for instance, which motions are voluntary from those motions which are natural in bodies, but does not rely on human will, so that one can find on animals. And moreover, which are those notions, those motions that pertains to any body. I mean, any living body, but provided with a will as human body, or just following just mechanical processes, but are not automatic in the sense as the beating of heart. Mm-hmm. And is actually in yes, two kinds of treatment of voluntary motions, and in general of what pertains to the human body as such, so voluntary motions and rational thoughts. So in the physiology of 1641, for instance, is more close to Descartes' view. So he says that we have this kind of motion, and this kind of voluntary motion, they are determined by the faculty of will. On the other hand, more if you look at the next, the Fundamenta Physicis and the Fundamenta Medica in their editions, these motions are more accounted in mechanical terms, with less importance given to will as a faculty which overcomes, for instance, understanding, as for Descartes. So in his later editions of his work, we have an account of will as determined by temperaments, and so, but there are also problems with freedom. Mm-hmm. And basically overcomes Descartes' notion of will.
But does he use the notions like conatus or metaphorical motion, or not?
No, conatus, no.
Thank you.
Even if it's... well, anyway, it's something related to his account of the notion of body, because his notion of bodies, at least of living bodies, is corpuscular, but it... It defines them in terms of the actions they can perform. So there is an underlying notion of conatus.
Thank you. Okay. So other questions or remarks, suggestions?
Well, I mean, we have a very, very small question. Finally, do you find Regius consistent author or also contradictory?
At the end, I think he's consistent, since
it's contradictory.
Since he declares that he wants just to explain the obscurities of medicine. So, since he says, well, we have these medical practices, he assumes that these medical practices are good, and by following them we can heal the body. And he says, but let's explain them in more clear terms. More clear terms. So, well, to this extent, is consistent.
If you say at the end that everything is just provisional, consistency is guaranteed.
Yeah.
Because you can always say, well, I didn't really mean that. Sorry.
Okay. Suspension of responsibility.
Right.
Okay. So, many thanks again.
Thank you.
Да, да, да.